Et Naim, Nikki Yasam Hilo, Nikki Machuptamaidu. Hello, everyone. My name is Hilo, and I'm Machuptamaidu. We acknowledge and are mindful that Chico State stands on lands that were originally occupied by the first people of this area, the Machupta, and we recognize their distinctive spiritual relationship with this land and the waters that run through campus. We are humbled that our campus resides upon sacred lands that have sustained the Machupta people for centuries and continue to do so today.
Welcome into another episode of First Generation, One of Many. This is episode 37, our second one for the spring of 2022. And today we're going to be talking about TRIO, Student Support Services Program. We have four guests today. We're going to hear a little bit about them, and then we're going to hear quite a bit from them. And then at the end, like normal, we will share some recommendations for the day. So let's get rolling. Here at First Generation, One of Many, our mission is to create an archive of discussions with and about first generation student experiences in and out of the classroom. We hope to continue raising awareness and understanding, provide voice for students and alum, as well as present resources for faculty, staff, and students working for and collaborating with first generation students. All right, our quote for the day is, enter to learn, depart to serve. And that is a quote from Mary McLeod Bethune, who was an American educator, philanthropist, humanitarian, womanist, and civil rights activist. So let's get to some numbers here and see what those say around first generation students as far as enrollment in universities across the nation now. See, and there I go. I say that, and now my infographic information has disappeared off of my screen. We will find it. But until then, let's just introduce people. I'll read that and we'll get it going. All right, first is Allison Seichow. And Allison is a retention specialist at Butte College with the TRIO Student Support Services Program. She was born and raised in Orrville and was in TRIO throughout high school as an educational talent search participant. After high school, Allison attended CSU Chico, where she earned her bachelor's degree in history and Asian studies in 2016. Eventually, she earned her master's degree in history also from Chico State in 2020. And as the oldest in her family, Allison became the first in her household to receive both a bachelor's and a master's degree. She also had the opportunity to study abroad for a year during her undergrad years and is a huge advocate for first generation students to pursue higher education and to go study abroad. Hi, Allison. Welcome.
Hi.
It is great to
me.
It's great to have you here. I'm glad you could join us for today. Yeah. This is going to be a fun episode, one of our first episodes to have Butte College and Chico State represented in a joint venture around a program that has the same name, but has very different experiences and students and what you all are doing. So that'll be cool. Thanks for being here. Mm-hmm. Now, your colleague from Butte College is Yolanda Salazar. And Yolanda is currently the interim director of the Butte College TRIO SSS program. She's formerly the assistant director of the CSU Chico TRIO Educational Talent Search Program, the program which she credits with helping her get to and through college. As a first generation student, she understands how important TRIO programs are and what a difference they make in the lives of first generation low-income students with disabilities that are on their college journeys. Welcome, Yolanda.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, it is great to see you since you were, I think you transitioned right over to Butte right as COVID kicked in, or right before?
I'm actually coming up on my 1 year anniversary.
Okay. There you go. Excellent. So it is great to see you again, since I haven't seen you since campus closed down and you left.
I know. It's so strange.
Great though. Yeah. All right. So then our next guest, this is very unique for the podcast. I was sharing as we started, we have our first three-time guest. And funny enough, I don't know that he was ever invited to be on the podcast. But when the call went out and we asked people, hey, do you have anyone who can join you? Our next guest came up three different times now for three different reasons. So it just shows the scope and the breadth of what our next guest is doing, which of course is Enrique Ricky Galvan. Now, Ricky is a first-generation college student from Gridley and also a proud Chico State alum. Ricky graduated in 2019 with his BA in psychology and a minor in sociology. And then again in 2021 with his master's in social science with an option in career and life planning. Ricky loves to support students throughout their academic journey. And last October, he became the new student development coordinator for the TRIO SSS program at Chico State. He's humbled to be in the position and looking forward to encouraging the next generation of Wildcats. Welcome again, Ricky.
Thank you, Josh. You can't get rid of me.
Yeah. And maybe it needs to be more of an echo. Welcome, welcome, welcome. One for each time. Yeah. All right. Thanks for being here again. Yep. Now, our fourth and final guest is Joel Ramirez, who is a proud alumnus of the TRIO SSS program at Chico State. He was originally born in Mexico and grew up in exciting and exotic Oroville, California. So it sounds like right down the road from Allison. And he has one older brother and two older sisters. But before TRIO SSS, he worked in student life and leadership, where he gained valuable skills in risk management, freedom of speech, event and project management, and most importantly, supporting and advising students. So when not at work, you can find Joel out playing tennis, cycling, or watching all different types of movies. Welcome, Joel.
Thank you for having me, Josh. Absolute pleasure to be here with some really, really expert, high-achieving guests.
Yes, yes. Excellent. So we have about 34 minutes or so, roughly, for this. So we have a couple of questions laid out, and one of them, the first one, and maybe if all of you want to share, but maybe a brief sort of sharing for this one is, you all mentioned that you were some part connected with TRIO SSS prior to ever even getting out of college. So could you all share one pertinent or lasting memory you have of being part of a TRIO program before you got hired as an employee? And whoever's ready to go, just you can jump in or I can call on folks.
I could go first.
Okay.
So my introduction to TRIO was actually in high school, because I never really thought about pursuing higher ed until there was a presentation. So I signed up for ETS, and funny thing enough, Yolanda was my former ETS advisor for high school. So it kind of comes full circle for me in being in TRIO. I got to not only get really motivated to pursue higher ed and do well academically, but a lot of my close friendships has been through TRIO and TRIO programs, because I not only worked professionally with ETS, but I also worked part-time as a student with Upper Bound and now with SSS. So I've been able to dabble with all three programs since I've been off to college.
Excellent. Thank you. Yeah. See, it goes back. It goes back. All right. Who would like to share their memory about being a TRIO student?
I'm happy to share that I'll go that my, you know, before being hired, I didn't realize the impact these programs could have on entire families. And my, you know, big moment within SSS is realizing my oldest brother, 7 years older than me, was an educational talent search. My sister was an Upward Bound, and I remember, you know, having to pick her up and drop her off every weekend. My other sister was in Trio SSS, and she's the reason that I got into Trio SSS. And, you know, just truly seeing that as a family, how much these programs have impacted my family. And, you know, I think other students also have that, that same experience. So just the impact that it's had on me is what I would share.
Excellent. Thank you. Yeah. That's definitely one thing as an outsider looking in to Trio. I've seen a lot of the growth and impact and how important it's been for families bigger than just one person. All right, Ricky or Yo.
Okay, I can go next. As a first generation and low income student growing up in Oroville, I knew that I wanted to go to college. My mom definitely, you know, pushed me to go to college, but we didn't know how that was going to happen. So when I was in seventh grade, Educational Talent Search came to my seventh grade language arts class to talk about how they could help me get to college, and really the rest is history. And so Diana, who is actually the director of the Educational Talent Search program now, came and presented to my class. And so I was blessed to join ETS way back in 1990 and have been a part of the Trio family ever since. And so I, when I tell our scholars, our students, that Trio is a family, I truly, truly mean it. And so it's really great to see so many students, so many families go to college.
Yes, excellent. Thank you. And you made me laugh when you say 19, because when that year came around, I was already out of high school for like 4 or 5 years. And you were just in seventh grade. So there you go. Oh, see, Yolanda's muted because she's trying to snack.
Gosh, you were my counselor when I was in EOP.
Oh. Yes, that's right. One point, and I remember I don't think I presented to you, but I did present to the junior, senior ETS and Upward Bound summer programs a number of times. Yep. And so it was great to see later on, I would see students, and one or two students would come up every now and then, hey, you presented to me when I was in high school. And I'm trying to think like, okay, I don't even remember when that was. So so many years ago. So sometimes that, that's the beauty of still being alive and still being active to get to do stuff. All right. So that leaves Ricky.
Yeah, I'd love to go and share. So my experience was a little bit different because I had no post-high school plans to attend college. It was kind of, I always tell the story of there was a green flyer that ETS gave us when we did a presentation, and I was just planning on throwing it away. And I was cleaning out my desk, and then my mom came by and she said, oh, what are you up to? And I said, I'm cleaning up my desk, cleaning up my backpack. And she saw the green piece of paper and she took it away. And she came back and she said, oh, I filled out the paper for you. All you got to do is turn it in and you'll be a part of ETS. And I was like, well, I don't want to. Why, mom, why? And she was like, well, I'm your mom. I'm telling you, you're going to do it. So tough cookies. And I signed up. So I've been a part of ETS since 2000. I'm just kidding. Been a part of ETS since 2010 as a freshman in high school. And it was the best thing anyone has ever done for me. That's how I first met Yoli, was during that time. She wasn't my exact advisor, but she was always someone who I saw and looked up to. And I think that's the most powerful thing I got from being a part of a Trio program is the mentorship, because I had lots of self-doubts about me going to college and affording it and how I should do things. But they were the ones who saw the potential in me before I saw it in myself. And they were the ones who helped to guide me and actualize my goals and what I could do. And I think having someone like that since I was a freshman in high school, now to a professional and having completed a bachelor's and master's, is the most powerful thing I've ever gotten. And that's why I'm beyond grateful. And I'm sure I speak on behalf of everyone when I say that we're humbled to be in this position because we get to do that for the next generation of students.
Yes, it is extremely impactful, right, to be working in advising with first generation college students. It is also with continuing generational students, but the first generation students, we get to learn so much more. I think I did. I learned a lot more about life and emotions and empathy and experiences by getting to work with first generation students that I probably may not have learned in another setting, but very, very appreciative along the way. So as I have waned away from that, now it's been almost 10 months since I've been working in student affairs. And so to see Ricky and a new person coming in and Allison being new, so energized and excited about being part of that. It's great to see. And I can flash back to when I first started, because I was close to their age even when I first started working in that. So welcome. So before we move on, I wanted to maybe give our listeners just some context to what is, because we've heard TRIO Educational Talent Search, we heard TRIO Student Support Services, we heard TRIO this, TRIO. I mean, so if you're not familiar, just in case, TRIO is a group of federal programs that are then applied for by different campus entities. And if they're awarded a grant, then they get to have the program on their campus. And there are about 8 or 9 different types of TRIO programs. They range from educational opportunity centers, Ronald E. McNair Post-Baccalaureate Achievement Program, student support services, which is what we're going to talk about specifically today. There's talent search. There's a training program for federal TRIO programs. There's Upward Bound. There's Upward Bound for math and science. And there's also a veterans Upward Bound. So just so you get a big the general idea of what TRIO has and is offered, it is federally funded. And then I wanted to add some information real fast. You can also see more of a scope of what the numbers look like a little bit nowadays. So if we look at just the demographics of enrollment, the percentage for undergraduates who are first-generation college students, right? There are some different definitions out there. One of them says your parents have no post-secondary education at all whatsoever. They never even went to a community college or any university for even one term. So that would be 24% of the students enrolled currently across the United States. But if we look at the bigger definition of you have a student who has parents who do not have a bachelor's degree, and that's the more commonly accepted and used in most areas, that number is up around 56% for the nation. And then if we look at the number percentage of students whose parents didn't have a bachelor's degree, but also that person was the first sibling to go to college, is at 60%. So those are some of the sort of broader numbers. And we can see a lot of first generation students, we also see an increase in age in that overall, especially at the community colleges. And so if we look at that, 16% of continuing generation, so someone who's second or third generation college student, only 16% are over the age of 30, where first generation students, it's at 29% of the students are above 30. So those are some of the numbers. Another number that really stands out is the median parental income. If we look at first generation students and non-first generation or continuing generation, the continuing generation students' median parental income this last year was $90,000 across the country. And for first generation students, it's at $41,000. So we can see some differences in that number there. And what Joel kind of was talking about with overall families, how much it impacts families in a way is more of one thing I've learned is when parents or grandparents finally see their family member graduating and that person can tell them, hey, I've got this new job and this is my salary and I've got health insurance and I've got a retirement plan and I've got these things. Often those parents and grandparents look and say, that's more money than I've earned in the last 5 years for some parents and grandparents. So it is this baffling, you know, sort of data point for people to realize what it just did for our family. Because even along the way, until it becomes real, the outside folks who aren't going to college, it has like this, I guess, in a way, it's like a this surreal, not real, just this odd, what does it even mean? Because that doesn't really define our understanding of work or jobs or careers or things like that, because it hasn't been the tradition in our family for that. So with some of those numbers, the information there, can you share a little bit? I want to see, we kind of went over the outline of TRIO in general, but what is the scope of student support services on the two different campuses? What are you seeing of who you're serving on the campus? And maybe then what type of services are you providing for students? And we can start with whoever's ready. I see a lot of nods and yeses and smiles. So I'll just go ahead and Joel is the first person on my screen.
Excellent, Josh. Thank you for a great question. I would say, to start, our population begins with first generation income eligible or students living with disabilities. That is, what our grant is traditionally written for. Those are the students that can be any of those indicators, living with a disability, income eligible, or first generation. They do not need to be all three. The majority of our students here at our Chico State Trio SSS program are first generation and income eligible. Primarily, and I can add a lot more to this, are women, female identifying students. My insight and theories behind that, and I definitely, when I was in college and I was a trio SSS, identified with the comfort of asking for help. As a male student in my time, I definitely feel like that was a challenge for myself. And that's something that within our program, every time we go out to recruit, every time we, work with the students who are eligible for our program, we're always, accepting of anybody who is qualified for our program and doing our best to combat some of those stigmas or some of those challenges. As far as services that we provide, I'll categorize them into three different areas. We offer academic, strong focus. Students are here to work towards a degree. We also focus on financial wellness, financial savviness, financial intelligence, and working through, because we understand that a student who is worried about paying for rent, a student who is challenged with, knowing where they're going to buy their next book, that's going to impact their grades. That's going to impact their academics. So, the first one being academics, second one being financial wellness. And then the third is a broad emotional support, social emotional support that we provide to our students. And all three of those kind of combine into, the work that we do with our students. Those are the broad general pieces of services that we provide for our students. Ricky, would you mind sharing more specific of kind of, since you've been here, what you've seen, some of the services and what they might look like for a student who's in the program?
Yeah, of course, Joel. So I know some of the things that we do alongside that is checking in on student progress, if they have any kinds of academic probation, SAP holds, if they have help with registration, whatever it may be, any academic-based question a student may have, they're more than welcome to come speak with us. We also do different kinds of community building events around Chico so they can feel more welcomed and more involved in the greater Chico community, whether that be going to hikes to Upper Park, whether we be doing a trio tennis Tuesdays where they can all get together and de-stress on the court. We'd be having different kinds of board game nights, different kinds of cultural activities as well. We're going to be hosting a couple movies or a couple of screenings happening around the area here on Lax Auditorium. So we do all kinds of things related to that. We also have participated in going out to our greater California community. And last semester, we went to Red Bluff to repaint some of the cabins over there for the summer camps that the students will be involved in the local area. And we're going to be going on another trip. I'm not quite sure the exact location, Joel, if you could help me, where we're going to be going in April.
Santa Rosa area.
Yeah, going to go over there and just help show the students some of the great outdoors, because a lot of them come from big cities, whether that's the Bay, LA, Sacramento type area. So just getting them more involved with the greater Chico community, Northern California community. And yeah, those are some of the extra things that we do.
Excellent. Cool. I will add one thing I know about the TRIO program at Chico State, which is fantastic and amazing, that they do with their students is have a couple of different contract opportunities. So when a student becomes part of the program, they can pick, do I want to look at graduate school pathway? Do I want to look at career opportunity pathway? And then they have different events and activities and things they can do along the way to help prepare them for that path. So I think that's always been a wonderful resource, and seeing it evolve over the last 5 or 6 years, implementation, and then the students really appreciating that when they finally get to their last year or last year and a half, where they realize, oh, a lot of this stuff has been helping me. It's been great to be doing these things, because it's part of that for them being able to see the bigger picture. Until some things happen and they're in the past and they can see how it connects to what they're currently doing, it takes some time for that. But that's one of the wonderful resources you all use to get and keep students engaged moving forward with the goals and having those kind of things set up for themselves. So yeah, cool. So Yoli or Allison, would you like to share about Butte?
Sure. Ditto to everything that Joel said in the beginning, because we're both TRIO SSS programs. We have to follow our federal regulations. So our students must identify as first gen or low income or have a documented disability. So it doesn't have to be all three. It can be or. It can be two or more. But yes, so same to that. We also offer different supports. We do academic advising, coaching, we call it. We do study skills workshops. Allison just hosted a scholarship workshop where she talked about how to sell yourself and scholarships. We went to a cultural activity. We went to see Hamilton last semester.
But
we exposed students.
Nice.
They've never been exposed to, you know, on top of all the workshops we provided, really the biggest need of our student population is finding community. So like Joel said, that social emotional aspect. So many of our students just say, we miss being around people. You know, a lot of our first time freshmen and our age range of students is pretty wide. We have, you know, straight out of high school, first time freshmen, all the way to re-entry students that are in their 60s. And so we really have a wide range of students, but they all just say, we just want a place that we can know we can go and hang out and be amongst other students and share our experiences and share our stories. And so really, I feel like that's been the biggest need for our student population. We are brand new, even though we're in the second year of our grant. We started virtually. So, you know, we recruited students virtually, we're offering services virtually. So when we came back to in-person in July and campus opened up in August, we saw a huge influx of students onto campus. And so when our campus announced we would go virtual for the first 2 weeks of this semester, it was really rough for a lot of our students. And so really, it's just that emotional need for this last year of our program, just being there, being someone to talk to.
Yeah, that's, I think, one thing I haven't seen, all of the adapting and what you all have been doing this last 2 years to make sure it's you know, still moving and happening, because you are then having to still follow your guidelines and try to accomplish some of these things. So, and I can only take a wild guess that the federal government wasn't necessarily too flexible with some of those things.
I mean, they say they're going to be flexible. You know, of course, we don't know. Joel and I both submitted our annual performance reports in the beginning of February. And so specifically for us, because we're a new program, you know, to meet our numbers during virtual, you know, having to recruit has been definitely a challenge. And there are several new programs that are in that same situation. And so we hope they'll allow some grace. And you know, they've already said, we know it's a pandemic, we know it's COVID. We'll see what happens, you know, once they review our performance reports, and we'll go from there. And yeah, our campus, there's still a lot of students that are virtual. So our population, our number of students are about 50-50, 50% are on campus, 50% are still learning virtually. So any of the offerings we have, we do both in person and through Zoom to make sure we're meeting everyone's needs.
Nice. I found a little clip will represent Butte College's journey to Hamilton. So here you go.
There's nothing rich folks love more than going downtown and slumming it with the poor. They pull up in their carriages and gawk at the students in the common just to watch them talk. Take Philip Schuyler, the man is loaded.
So if you're not familiar with that, it's the Schuyler sisters from Hamilton. But I thought that was a good part, because right in there, they're talking about, hey, this whole idea of rolling up to the college and just gawking at students. So.
And it was so amazing. So many of our students had never been in a theater, had never.
Oh, wow. That.
So nice. It was, you know, I want to say life changing for some of our students. And so
I'm sure. Yeah.
Really exciting.
I'm sure. Yeah. Because you see a lot of people who have that same life changing experience of seeing something like that live, but they go, oh, yeah, I remember, I think I was in third grade. Mm-hmm. So you get this whole different experience as you, when you're a young adult, mm-hmm. and experiencing some of these things. So that's great. All right, Allison, as the newest member of Trio, Trio staff anyway, sorry, not the newest member of Trio, but do you want to add anything that you're seeing now?
I think Joel and Yolanda pretty much covered it, especially when it comes to SSS. But I would say the difference is like with Butte College itself, because I growing up or coming from Chico State, going to a community college, the setting is different. It's smaller, more intimate. And the students are usually more local. So especially with those that have been recently joining our program, they, you know, one of the motivations they have for hearing about our program is not just for the academic and financial services, but they just want someone to talk to. They, especially since our program has been new, having that individual contact with someone and just a sense of belonging has really been appealing for a lot of students here around Butte, especially knowing how our county's been facing a lot of very traumatic events and still going through. And that's a conversation I always have with my students, like you're coming back to school during a very hectic time. So we like to push for self-advocacy a lot and boost their confidence, knowing that it is hard transitioning back to school, but just encouraging them that they got this and that we're there to support them. So that's been very rewarding for me to see, especially working with them directly and seeing the impact that I've been making, just having those conversations with them on a daily basis.
Yeah, so that makes me think when you say having conversations with them, maybe it's important so our listeners have this information as you all share this podcast out and put on your website link maybe there. So prospective students and families, you know, parents and guardians can hear this. A couple of questions. How large is your program? How many students do you get to serve inside of the program? And then, of course, how can students gain access or become part of this program? So let's go ahead and start with Chico State this time.
Sure. Happy to share. Total number of students that we're funded to serve, and there is a minimum and a maximum that we can serve, is 160 to 172 students that we can serve in our SSS program here at Chico State. That has to do with how much funding and how much we spend on each student, and also just how much staff we can have so that we can, you know, give the individual advising and support to the number of students. Is going above that is I'm going to need more money, I'm going to need more staff, and I'm going to need more resources to be able to give to these students. So that's how many we serve here at Chico State. And Josh, can you remind me of that second question that you threw it in there too?
How can students become part of the program, or when can they become part of the program?
Excellent. Thank you for reminding me of that. One of the things that I love about our program is we serve all SSS programs, not just Chico State specifically, is that we meet our students before a bulk of our students in the cohorts the summer before they start college. And that could be the first year students, that could be our transfer students. That's where we get, you know, the majority of our students. The building of community is so important that we try to have students, you know, in cohorts and work all the way through their first year, second year, third year, all the way to being the first in their family or first generation to earn a bachelor's degree. All the way through, and we cater and customize each of the services to where they are. And that's a little bit of what you were talking about earlier, Josh, about the contracts that we have. And, you know, as they get into their third and beyond years at Chico State, we're really focusing on like, all right, you know, you got to start planning about your time after graduation. So bulk of students the summer before they start here at Chico State. On top of that is students can also just join when, you know, they hear about our program, and, you know, as long as we have the space and we are going to be sitting somewhere between that 160, 172 students that we're going to have, then we can take students almost at any point. I will say that, you know, we're lucky to be full a lot of the time. And I say lucky, not from the student perspective, but from what we were hearing from Yolanda earlier about, you know, I think everyone has been hit by virtual learning pandemic. And I've heard of a lot of programs nationally, a lot of SSS programs nationally, really struggling to be able to, you know, recruit all of their students year to year, semester to semester. So that's what I mean, lucky from that piece. What I will share to any student is, it's not, you know, a cue that if they come into my office and I say, oh, we're at 172, get out of here, get out of here. No, there are a lot of support programs at Chico State. And, you know, if we can't formally have them join our program, I will find a way or another support program or another resource on campus that exists here to be able to get them the support and help that they need. So that's the long answer. The short answer, yeah. The summer before they start Chico State, or truly any time, as long as we have availability.
And you say any time. So even if you don't have availability, can people still apply? Then you'll just hold on to their application when something comes up. Okay, excellent. Yes. So it is an open, rolling, never closed application.
Correct. Process.
Is that the same for Butte College?
Yes. Apply. You can visit the Butte College website. Our application is online and you can submit it through there. I will get an email. I will let you know once your application is processed. But yes, we are always accepting students. We are funded to serve 240 students. And so we are excited to fill all of those spots. We would love to have a wait list eventually. But yes, we definitely have spots open. So if you know, if you have a friend, family, son, daughter, tell them to apply if they're at Butte.
Excellent. Or if they're going to be coming to Butte, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we do have a lot of local students. I know I've met each year, I would meet students who would say, oh, like Ricky's example, I didn't really think about going to college. So it becomes a last minute type of thing. So that is definitely a good resource. Is there anything you want to add about some of the services at Butte College that may be even different from Chico State's, or were they really?
Sure. I want to add that I'm working closely with Joel and Ricky to give the warm handoff to our students who are going to be transferring to Chico. So we have 11 students who will be finishing up at Butte here in the spring. And I've already, you know, started that conversation with Joel, like, hey, when's your application open? Let's get our students from SSS here over to the SSS program at Chico State so they can continue to get those services and that support. Cause we know that for a transfer student, you know, there are a lot of different challenges versus a first time freshman. And so we really wanna make sure our students that are transferring feel supported, have a community. So that way already when they get there, they're like, hey, I already know somebody who's gonna help and support me, or somebody that I can go to and ask those questions. And so, yeah, our program is a little different in that sense that we're helping our students transfer to whatever institution it is, you know, they're thinking about transferring to. But thankfully, a lot of our students do go to Chico. So we're so excited to work closely with the SSS program at Chico.
And it sounds like then a number of those students coming over or wherever they start at Butte and then coming to Chico State, or they start at Chico State, a lot of these local students are in really good hands because all four of you are from some town within 30 minutes of Chico. So you have some great personal connection, you know, mm-hmm. experience, and be able to help in that sense as well, which is great. And I know in the last episode, we talked a little bit of, it was an episode on a Black mentoring, peer mentoring program at Chico State. And one of the bigger points that actually comes up in other episodes as well is that for students to come into higher education, how impactful and important it is that they can see and hear from people who look like them, sound like them, have similar experiences as them. And so you all bring in a different viewpoint and your own experiences, which help to add to the students you're working with on that. So that is wonderful to hear. So unfortunately, we have run up against the all unfriendly sometimes social construct of time. And whether you believe in it or not, I guess it does have its reality here and there. It's like people that say, hey, I don't believe in marriage. Well, people over there are married, so it's real somewhere. But, you know, so, but hey, you don't believe in time. Unfortunately, it is real now. We have a few minutes. So that means we are at the moment time for recommendations today. And okay, like I said, we're back into a recommendation time now today. So, Joel, what do you have to share with the listeners?
Yeah, I'd say I have two pieces. The first one is California Virtual Campus. This is set up by California Community Colleges. It's a great website that I know a lot of our students use frequently, especially when, you know, trying to wrap up some of their general education courses or wrap up a lower division course. Is super, super helpful. So that'd be my academic recommendation for California Virtual Campus, cvc.edu. And then just my other, you know, short, quick little recommendation is as someone who struggled to ask for help early in my career and maybe even still to this day, you know, I don't know how it happened. It took time. It took maturity. It took, you know, growing up, but if you're listening out there, fight that urge to not ask for help, and speak to other people if you see good role models out there that are already asking for help. So those are my two quick recommendations.
Thank you very much. And Ricky, what do you have to share?
Yeah, I have a fun recommendation. Anderson .Paak and Bruno Mars dropped one of the best albums of last year, Silk Sonic. Fantastic music for fantastic weather that we're having over here in the Chico, Northern California area. And yeah, definitely give that a listen. And my piece of advice that I give to people is stay in contact with those who may have helped pave the way before you. You know, I would have never thought that I would be in this position working for Trio as a professional. And I remember sitting at the front desk as an ELP student and waiting for my advisor to come get me. And now students wait for me in the exact same area for me to go get them. And I just think it's fantastic, you know, and I'm sure I make Yoli very proud and Leah, who was in this position before, and all my old ETS advisors and Trio family members who have, you know, seen me grow from a young boy to now a young man and now a young professional and now a young father and all these kinds of things. So definitely keep in contact with those who care about your success, because they're going to be the ones to keep pushing you forward.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, and as I stare at the screen and look at where you're sitting, to go one step further, now you're sitting in the same office that you used to go visit your advisor in. Now it's your office.
Kind of. The same office space. Yeah.
Yeah. Same office space. And Ricky shared it. He said it. None of us blew the information, but as we are recording, he says a new father, he's a new father in spirit for now, supporting his partner. And I guess once this drops, he will probably be a father in physicality and be holding a baby and staying up and all those things. Yes. And crying and laughing and taking naps when you can.
Yeah. So the next time you have me, I'm the fourth time I do the podcast, yeah, in my profile picture, I'll have, yeah,
baby to see. There you go. Excellent. Yeah. That'll be great. Yeah. Thanks for sharing. And I know you and Joel need to get going. So thank you both for being here. Again, this is a wonderful opportunity to be able to share and hear from you. And then you'll be able to have this episode to share out with prospective students, mm-hmm, and other people around in your areas to help spread the message and information about Trio SSS at Chico State. So take care, you two. And I guess I will actually see you in an hour and a half.
Thank you, Josh. Thanks for having us. And thanks to your audience. Yep.
Okay, bye, you two.
Take it easy.
All right. So, Yoli and Allison, what do you have to share with the listeners?
My recommendation is, if you are a student, whether you're at Butte Community College, any community college or any university, and you're not 100% sure about your major, explore, utilize those services on your campus. Go to the Career Center on your campus. Have a conversation with someone. If you're not ready to have a conversation, CaliforniaCareerZone.org, CACareerZone.org is a great resource. You can go in there and take an assessment to see, maybe based on your personality or your likes, what careers might interest you. You can see in real time jobs that are available in that major or that career area. And so do that research to see what you like. You don't have to 100% decide your career, but do that research and see what's out there. And also play an active role in your education. Yes, your counselors, your advisors, your academic coaches are definitely going to help and support you and assist you, but definitely check out the assist.org website where you can see in real time, pick your community college that you're attending, and then pick the institution that you would like to transfer to. And it'll show you which courses are 100% transferable that you'll be able to carry from your community college over to your CSU UC private college. So make sure you check out that website also. And if you like good reggae music, the Agrolites, if we're also making music recommendations.
Okay, yes, definitely. And so reminder, all of these recommendations will have links in the show notes so you can check them out. One thing about the assist.org to add to it, which is nice, is that even if you already attend a four-year university somewhere, but summer's coming up or winter session, you think, you know what, I want to go ahead and try and take a class. You can search a community college of where you'll be during that time. Or if you find an online option for any community college, you can go ahead and also see if it transfers back to your university so you can take it. And that will help in some cases where you may have an odd number of courses left. And so doing one winter session or one summer session can help. And then doing it at the community college will help in your economic and financial burden for what that looks like. You may even be eligible for a Board of Governors grant and maybe not have to even pay for the community college course. So, excellent. Allison, what do you have to share?
Yeah, so as a former college student, I would recommend, especially for all students, to just have fun while they're in school. I mean, higher education, especially first generation students, I know it's been driven in us to go and complete school so that we could do better in our future and find employment opportunities and stuff, but also enjoy college, see what interests you. This is where you can have very memorable experiences in your life. It's a short chapter in your life, so make the most out of it, especially for those who are going to universities that are probably very expensive. Just tap into all the resources that they offer for you. You know, study abroad if that's always been a dream of yours, and it's nice to go as a student. There's a lot of things you can do while you're a student that you can't do later on when you're employed and you only get maybe 2 weeks off out of the year. So I always encourage, especially first generation students, to really enjoy their experience while they're in school. Yes, it's important to study and get that degree, but at the same time, make those memories as well. Maybe take a dance class that's offered at your school, join a different club on campus. So just really broaden out your skills and maybe see what things that you might didn't realize you liked, maybe you started liking while you're in college. And then another recommendation is just for those who, you know, if you're not big on reading, but if you would like to challenge yourself mentally every day, there's this game called Wordle, and the New York Times bought it. So you can have access to it on your smartphone or phones. So as an app, and each day you can just challenge yourself to just, you know, see, it just tells you like what letter you're getting wrong till you figure out. You get 6 chances and it will show you on color codes if you're getting close to that word. I personally like it because I like a little bit of intellectual stimulation every day, and something as small as that, it could take like 3 to 4 minutes, and then it helps keeps me, you know, my mental strong in terms of being able to read and write and stuff. So those would be my 2 recommendations.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you. And looking at the chat, we have a recommendation coming in from Yoli again now saying, hey, remind folks that no matter what school you're going to, you should always ask about scholarships at that campus, or if the scholarship office can point you to some sort of resource where you can apply to external scholarships off of that campus as well. Thank you for throwing that in. And so again, all of these will have notes, links in the show notes. You'll be able to check them all out and utilize them and share them with any of your colleagues or students that you may be working with. So again, thank you, Yoli and Allison, for being here. It's been a wonderful episode to hear about what the 2 campuses in Chico are doing with their individual campuses, but also some of the collaboration you have going on and support and the impact then that you're having on our community and the state and even the nation or the world, depending on where everyone is going after you've been helping support them. So
thank you,
hopefully
Josh.
You have, yeah, no,
Josh,
you're welcome.
For inviting us.
Yeah, it was great. So hopefully you have a wonderful rest of the day. And listeners, thanks for tuning in again. And we will have another episode coming up in a week or so. Take
thank
care.
You. Thank
Bye.
You. Bye.